I'm Teen Zekas.
And hey, I'm Ilika Follette. We are business owners and moms with corporate backgrounds, and we are all about getting Black women paid in both corporate and business.
And you're listening to the Getting Black Women Paid podcast.
Let's go.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Getting Black Women Paid podcast, and we are going to get right into it with a topic that is near and dear to my heart, imposter syndrome. I guess before we dig in, Ilika, what do you think of when you hear the term imposter syndrome?
Oh, you know what? We hear it all the time, right? And imposter syndrome became like this thing that folks are talking about, and I think what happened is so many people didn't realize that they were actually living in it. You know, it's, and what I think of is I want to be doing this thing, but I might not be good enough to do it. I'm not the expert. I only have 27 years of experience in this, so I can't possibly show anyone else how to do it, right?
Yep.
I can't possibly be the expert in this. So
absolutely. And right. For me, I feel like there's a few different layers of it. Right. So some of it's, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't have the right credentials to be doing this. Some of it is if I show a mistake, if it's not perfect,
right,
everyone's going to know that, you know, I shouldn't have had this job, or I just, I just got lucky and got this job, or whatever it is. And for me, I feel like one of the biggest things to acknowledge, especially for Black women, is that imposter syndrome is not your failing. Like, it sounds all clinical. It sounds like a disease, right? You got the syndrome. It's
right.
Not right. It's not really in the DSM. You can't be diagnosed with imposter syndrome.
Exactly.
But when I'm, you know, especially when I think about, you know, I'm in a white male dominated industry, there's no one who looks like me in leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Imposter syndrome is not, I'm not crazy. I'm just, my eyes are open, right? I'm always being treated like I don't belong. I'm always being given those messages, right? You can't achieve this. You can't do that. No one who looks like you has done it. And so I always try to even start with, it's not you. So I even talk about, you know, actually imposter systems, right? So those are the structures, the institutional racism, the sexism, the all of the isms, right? That are designed to exclude us. And then we're just sitting here aware and we're like, oh, maybe I don't belong here. So
exactly.
So for me,
to say, even though you're qualified or overqualified, you're not good enough.
Right.
You know, or you have to do these 115 things in order to get this role. Whereas this guy here, he just gets the role.
Right. You got to do it better than everybody else just to get your foot in the door. Right. And so for me, I'm, you know, part of me is like, okay, so how do we tear down the patriarchy and, you know, capitalism and all the things? And it's like,
right. Come through kicking in the door, kicking in the door, wave in, right. Just
right.
Knock it out. Yeah.
But like, assuming that stuff's not going to be resolved today, you know, I want to sort of in the meantime, help Black women, right, as individuals and as a community, figure out, okay, well, how do I get through my day to day and not let the impact of imposter systems,
right,
you know, dictate how my career is going to be, dictate how my well-being is going to be, right? And so it's about, you know, the fault is not on us, but the solutions are still going to have to come from us, is kind of how
I think about it. You know, it's funny because when you're talking about this, it makes me think of a friend of mine. She had like at this time, 15 years of experience. And she, and when I say experience, it was like 15 years of progressive experience, understanding and learning, and also had gotten her MBA, right? And gotten an executive MBA from a really, really good school. And so she goes into a role. And actually, she didn't go into the role. She was looking for a new opportunity, right? And instead of looking I remember having the conversation. She's like, yeah, I'm looking for this this HR manager role. And I thought, HR manager, but you've been here for 15 years. So I will say, let me pause real quick and say, imposter syndrome wasn't usually a thing for me because I was in consulting. And in consulting, I saw all these people doing this and I thought, I can do that. I'm going to go for it. Like, and that was just always my mindset. But looking at my friend, I was like, wait, why are you going for this HR manager role? Shouldn't you be director or senior director? And she's like, well, I haven't done this side of the, I haven't done benefits yet. And I haven't done this and I haven't done that. And I said, well, I've got a friend who wasn't, you know, Black. It wasn't a Black woman. And I said, and she hasn't done all that. And she's the senior director in HR at a major Fortune 500 company. So why not you? And it was, she still had that mindset. Imposter syndrome of, well, I have to do all these things.
And it's something, all the
exactly. It's something that system has taught us. We've got to check every box. And so literally it took her another 5 years to get out of that mindset to finally go after a senior director role. And now she's, I think she's like VP of HR for a major company now, but she had to come out of that imposter syndrome in order to step into it. So I often say, and I would ask you, how many Black women have you seen hold themselves back in their careers, not getting to this next level because of imposter syndrome?
Oh my goodness. I mean, countless, right? I worked with one woman who actually, well, I'll start with, she heard me speak. Mm-hmm. So I was speaking at an event on earning the salary you deserve. And during my talk, she had just gotten a promotion. And it was coming with a $6,000 raise. Mm. And she knew she'd be getting.
Right. Isn't it even a promotion at that point? That's the what do you get? The yearly
annual increase.
Yeah, right. That's right.
And so during my talk, she emailed and said, hey, can we talk on Monday about my compensation? And she went and doubled that $6,000.
Love
then
it.
We met. We had one coaching session and we talked about the role she was in and the kinds of roles that she could be in, just as you were saying, right? Why don't you have a director title? Why don't you have this kind of title? And she had been contacted by some recruiters for roles that she had originally thought, oh, I can't go for that yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Within 6 weeks of talking with me, she landed a job and she was at like 80,000 maybe. 195.
I almost fainted.
Right.
$100,000 increase.
Life-changing. That's a life-changing amount of money. And it was within weeks of deciding that she deserved something different, that she was qualified for something different. It wasn't, she didn't acquire a new skill in that 6 weeks, right? She didn't acquire a new degree.
Exactly.
Right. It was getting out of her own head about what she can and can't do.
Right.
And it changed her life.
Yeah.
Immediately. And that stuff, I mean, those are the kinds of stories that get me smiling for weeks, right? It's almost like if you can flip that switch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Just totally change your trajectory.
Exactly. And it just makes me think for every person, every woman out there that has actually happened to, there's 50 more out there that are sitting in that $75,000 a year job or even $100,000 a year job where someone has told them, you know what, at least you're making $100,000. Like, right. I remember I had a manager that asked me one time. Yeah, at least you're making six figures. How nice is that? That must feel good. You know, and you know what I heard? I remember when that manager said that to me, and mine wasn't, it wasn't about being Black for me. It was about, oh, I'm working from home. And this was well before the pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. So this is like 2010, 2011. So I'm thinking, well, working from home, I guess they aren't going to pay me a lot more. And so I found out that other people were making more, right? But right. You get into that mindset that, well, I guess, fine.
I should be great.
But then when she said those words, at least you're making six figures, what it said to me was, what I heard was, well, little Black girl, at least you're getting six figures because most Black women out here aren't. And I thought, You know, like, you know, immediately I was like, excuse me? Like, and that was one of the things that triggered me to say, nope. And I actually had to have a conversation to even get to that number. I was like, yes. I was like, at this point, I need to be here, because I think I was at, you know, at like 89, 90 before that. And I was like, I need to be over 100. And so we had a conversation, you know, and she got me to there. And then she's like, you know, at least you're making that. And I was like, and that's when I knew something had to shift. I knew this was we're going to pay you this because you don't know no better. You don't think you deserve more, even though you're out here killing the game and everybody is giving you all the kudos. Kudos is not enough. You got to pay me. And that's what we need to stand in. You know, kudos is not enough for us Black women.
It's wild to hear you tell that story, because the same thing happened to me. I had gotten up to, I was at 108.
Mm-hmm.
And this was as the pandemic was hitting, and we all got pay cuts.
Oh.
And they said, you know, well, we're not laying anyone off, but, you know, everyone's taking pay cuts. And that put me down back to 100. And my manager said, well, at least you're still at six figures. And I was like, I got to go. That was it. My next role. In fact, this is actually a story I tell to explain why you negotiate no matter what. Mm-hmm. I was hoping to get 120. I was at 100. I was hoping to get 120. Mm-hmm. And I got offered 140.
Oh, wow.
And I, of course, my brain wanted to be like, yes, please. Thank you. We're done.
Giving you your money.
Right. I said what I always say, which is, you know, thanks so much for the offer. I'd love to see the benefits and get back to you.
Oh, I love it.
Then I hung up, got my stuff together, and was like, wait a minute. I'm leaving money on the table leaving mid-year. I need to start over on my deductible. I'm not going to get my 401k match or whatever. So I did some calculations and I was like, I'm leaving some money on the table. I'm going to ask for another 15.
Yeah.
And I got eight. So I got 148.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about it and I thought, if I had taken that 140, so excited that it was over what I was expecting.
Right.
And then they also offered the job to a white guy at 140 and he negotiates.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm at 140. He's at 148. Yeah. And every raise after that, we're getting further and further apart. Right. So but it was that same thing. As soon as he said, well, at least you're still at six figures, I was like, this is not it. And so many of the women I talk with still have in their mind that six figures is the end goal.
Right.
And that just, and that's, I think, solidified from, I mean, there was a time where that was true.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you were making 100,000, you were good.
No.
Mm-hmm. That's not true in 2024.
No.
There was a study many, many years ago that I think people used for a long time. And it said that, you know, income was correlated with happiness only up until 75,000 annual. And then after that point, it kind of tapered off. No matter how much you made, you were still about the same happiness. They did an update to that study last year, changed that number to 500,000 annually.
Wow. That is a drastic difference.
So when you're talking about, let me finally get to 100 and then I'll be good.
No.
Not where we are in this part of life now. Not
exactly. Or in society, right? It's like things cost a lot more than they used to back when 75 was the number. And so
how much it costs a year of college.
Exactly. Hugely different. Year of college when I went to school was $13,000 a year. And that was I went to HBCU, North Carolina A&T. It was amazing. Aggie Pride. And it was $13,000 a year. Now, my son goes to North Carolina A&T. He will be paying like $45,000 to $50,000 a year.
A year?
That's a drastic difference.
Right. And if you're going to be making 100, you'll be set.
Right. Exactly. When it's $200,000 to go to college. You know?
Right.
Like it's drastic. But that's where imposter syndrome comes in, because we sit in that, well, at least I'm making 100, you know?
Right. I should be grateful for what I have. I mean, obviously we want to express gratitude, but not in the way that limits us from doing more and earning more. And I'm so glad you mentioned that, you know, when you say for every story, there's 50 other Black women out there, because, you know, as I was doing a lot of this one-on-one coaching, I realized, you know, there's too many of us experiencing this. So I actually wrote the book on imposter syndrome. I have it here. I mean, for those listening, I'm holding up a very beautiful book. It's called Overcoming Imposter Syndrome at Work, The Black mm-hmm. Woman's Guide to Conquer Perfectionism, Stop Overthinking, and Thrive in Your Career. And my hope is that by making something that, you know, people can get their hands on, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to pay $1,000 to have a coaching session with somebody, right? You can, you know, mm-hmm. drop $20 on Amazon or, you know, whatever it is and get access to this information. So my hope is through the podcast, through the book, that we're reaching more and more Black women and helping shift the mindset and helping us to really break out of that, mm-hmm. that cycle of, you know, I should just be grateful for what I have. I right. don't deserve more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that you wrote that book because it is so necessary. And so many sit in this space of, you know, well, I mean, at least I'm at 100,000, or at least, you know, at least I'm not where I used to be. Mm-hmm. And
I have a job.
You're not where you used to be, right? At least I have a job, right? Because you're not where you used to be means that, well, you know, and the thing is, we don't have to compare ourselves to where we were or where our parents were, right? We get to look at where we want to be, right? We get to look at what we want our life to look like. What do you want your life to look like? Right. And how is imposter syndrome affecting that? We just talked about how my friend was being affected by it. She had multiple increases and role increases that she could have gone for, but wasn't because of imposter syndrome. Right. And then on your side, the woman that you coached, who was at literally at $80,000 one minute. Actually, let's go a little further. She was at what? Probably 68,000.
Right. Because 80 was with the increase. Right.
Negotiated to get to 80 and then left to another position that valued her at her role at $195,000.
Yeah.
No additional skills, but just sitting in the space of, well, I guess I'm doing as best as I can. At least I can afford to pay my rent, or at least I can afford to pay my mortgage. And it's like, do you just want to be in a space where you can afford, or do you want to be in a space where you thrive and you get to travel without going into major debt and you get to actually have maybe even the car that you want, or maybe you're someone that likes to have a nice purse. Mine usually come from Target because I don't care, but a lot of some folks like to have a nicer thing and don't want to have to go into debt to do it. Like, why does that have to be the story?
Right. Or maybe just security so that you're not afraid the next time layoffs are coming
mm-hmm.
that, well, I don't know where my next paycheck's going to come from. Right. Just exactly. to have being enough to feel okay.
Right. Being able to actually save, to look into your account and say, well, my stock portfolio looks like this. My 401k looks like this. I have this amount in savings and I know that I am okay if something happens with this position because I've got at least a year and a half of living expenses.
Yep.
We should be in that space. You should be in that space. And if imposter syndrome is holding you back from that space, then it's time to buy Teen's book, right? It's time to buy the imposter syndrome book so that you can step into that because it's so important. You know, it's funny. I love how we've talked about imposter syndrome in corporate today. I think that we should do another episode on how imposter syndrome affects like entrepreneurs and business, because Absolutely. It definitely affects in that space too. It's holding Black women back as a whole because we're living into a story that someone told us versus a story that is actually true. And mm-hmm. it's time that we get to replace that story with what you want, your actual desires. And who you are versus who somebody told you you are. Yeah. You know, someone told you that $100,000, at least you're making that $100,000. At least you're at six figures. Yeah. When it's like, and I should be at 250 or I should be at 300. you know, and my skill set, my experience and what I can do, what I can bring should have me at 300. Because I even look at, you know, being in corporate America, right? Saving the company millions or creating innovative strategies to make the company millions upon millions of dollars.
Right. You can't give me an extra 100,000.
Right. I'm still at 80. You can only pay me 80,000. There's no way. There's no way. And then they want to act like, well, we did recognize you at the event and you got, you know, corporate girl of the year or whatever, right?
You got work from home.
Right. That came with a $25 Starbucks gift card. So you're welcome. You know, like, come on. Kidding me? But it's real thing. I've literally seen that. That's actually happened to me. Yeah. And people act like you're supposed to be happy about being listed as, you know, the top person on this project. Great job.
Right.
But not paid, the top person. Wonderful. Thank you.
Pay me. That's it. That's it. Well, I can tell
you. We got to jump in and ask and negotiate, right? That's the way we get paid. We can't just expect it because it doesn't happen to us through expectation.
Right.
We get to step up and ask. Mm. And that's why you need to get that in Process Central book. I'm telling you. We're up there. Absolutely. You're around here too.
Well, it sounds like we still have a ton to say about imposter syndrome. So let's end it there. And I absolutely agree. We should do another episode, come at it from the entrepreneurial side. And we'll be revisiting this topic for all of the women out there who need it. So
right,
I'm glad we got to dig into it today and we'll be back for more.
Yes, definitely. We'll see y'all later. Continue to follow and subscribe and stay with us because this journey is one that is about to be I just see it being impactful and outstanding and giving.
See you in the next one.
Yep. Talk to y'all soon. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Getting Black Women Paid podcast. If you want to hear more episodes like this one, subscribe wherever you're listening now.
And if you love what you heard, be sure to leave us a review. And make sure you share the podcast with incredible Black women in your life so we can continue getting Black women paid.
All right. We'll see you in the next one.